Hi, this is R.C. Sproul inviting you to join me this coming summer for another breathtaking cruise to Alaska. This year, once again, we'll be going to Alaska from June 15 to June 22nd. And the subject I'll be lecturing on is Chosen by God. Now, some of you have already been with us on that voyage to Alaska, and you know really how spectacular that is. It's my favorite place to cruise. And in 08, we'll be going on another Holland American ship, the MS Westerdam, which will sail out of Seattle, Washington, and we'll be visiting Glacier Bay National Park. And if you've never been on that inside channel of Glacier Bay, you haven't seen anything yet. That is fantastic. And we'll be at Juneau, the capital of Alaska, the Sitka, Ketchikan, Victoria, British Columbia, and these ports of call. So if you're interested at all in planning a vacation with us in June of 08, where we'll be studying the doctrine of election together, for more information, give us a call at 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343, or visit us online at ligonier.org. That's ligonier.org, and they will give you all of the information of the different levels of cabins that are available and the various price structure. So think about this. We'd love to have you, and join us. You'll have a great time.
How would you describe God's attitude towards sin and wickedness? Stay tuned. Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul is next. Welcome to this Friday edition of Renewing Your Mind with author and teacher Dr. R.C. Sproul. Dr. Sproul is also the minister of preaching and teaching at St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford, Florida. The Bible makes it perfectly clear that sin is a bad thing, and God does not like it. With the five choices to describe God's attitude towards sin, would you say that sin makes God unhappy, slightly annoyed, a little bit mad, very mad, or furious? Whatever your answer, what did you base it on? What informs your ideas about God and His attitude towards sin? During today's lecture, Dr. Sproul will teach us what Scripture has to say about God's anger and how that informs us about the character of the God we serve. Here now is our teacher with God's Furious Anger.
Today we're beginning a new mini-series on the subject of anger. And as I was thinking about this, I remembered back to an experience I had in Europe in the 60s when I was in graduate school there, as I was involved in a theological discussion about the developments in theology in the 20th century. And there was a great debate that arose over a Latin phrase that found its way into the confessions of historic Reformation theology. And that Latin phrase was this, placate, or placati, P-L-A-C-A-T-I, ira dei. Ira, I-R-A, Dei, D-E-I. Now that obscure Latin phrase, placati ira Dei, means literally to placate the wrath of God. Now the controversy that arose over this phrase, placati ira Dei, to placate the wrath of God, had to do with how the church understands the cross, how we understand the atonement of Christ. Because historically, Christian orthodoxy has always taught that one aspect of the atonement of Christ was Christ's sacrifice designed to satisfy the demands of God's justice and to propitiate His wrath, to assuage His anger, to set it aside. And the New Testament itself speaks of salvation in these terms, that what Christ has done for us as Savior is that He has saved us from the wrath of God. Now, in light of the central motif of the wrath of God that we find in Scripture, and how often the Bible speaks of Christ's atonement on the cross as a satisfying of the wrath of God, it may seem strange that anybody in the church would object to this phrase to placate the wrath of God. But what was behind the controversy was a growing trend in modern theology to deny any wrath to God whatsoever. The whole idea of the wrath of God seems to make people angry. It provokes our wrath because we don't like to think of this wonderful God of grace and of love and mercy as being given to anger. And so in liberal theology in the 19th century, there was a wholesale reaction against the whole idea of the wrath of God, as if wrath were something unbecoming to the character of God Himself. But I want us to see at the outset of our study of anger that really a biblical understanding of human anger must begin with a study of the biblical understanding of God's anger. Now, it may surprise you to hear that in the New Testament, the word wrath or anger with respect to God occurs more often than statements about the love of God or of the mercy of God. And if we want to deny the reality of the wrath of God, we're going to have to take some very large scissors and a whole lot of paste to the Scriptures themselves. Because even a cursory reading of the Bible will indicate that the theology of sacred Scripture is one that takes very seriously this idea of the wrath of God. Let's look for a moment back to Romans, to the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning at verse 18, where Paul makes this observation: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Now, I'm not going to develop this particular passage and its theme of the suppression of God's revelation to us, but I only want to note in passing the introductory remark that Paul makes here, where he speaks of the revelation of the wrath of God that is being revealed from heaven. Now, there are a couple of things I want us to see here. First is the Greek word that is translated here by the English word wrath. The Greek here is the word orge. Now, that's a strange word, and you may not be familiar with the Greek at all, but I think you're familiar with a word that derives from this Greek word that is rarely, if ever, thought to have anything to do with anger. It is the word orgy. Now, when you think of an orgy, you think of an expression of unbridled licentiousness or lewdness. And the idea of orgy has its roots back in the ancient Greek culture, where there were cultic practices in the pagan religion that involved uninhibited drunkenness and sexual expression. We think of the Roman bacchanalia or the Dionysian frenzy in the Greek world, where people were worshiping the god Bacchus. And Bacchus was the god of the vine. He was the god of the vineyard. And so when people would celebrate the contributions that Bacchus made to the joy of life, they would do it by drinking his chief product, which was wine, and in many cases to excess. And the whole idea was that you get drunk into a stupor so that you dull your thinking processes and your senses and become uninhibited to experience a spiritual kind of ecstasy. And so these religious celebrations became or degenerated into orgies. Now, so what's the link between orgy and the Greek orge? Well, again, the word orgy in our vocabulary doesn't have anything to do with anger. It has everything to do with it in the Greek. And the link is this. The word orge in the Greek that expresses wrath is a word that is designed to express strong passion. That's the link. An orgy is where sexual passion is released or unleashed, whereas here in the original Greek, the orge refers to a different kind of passion. It is a passion of anger. Now, I stress this for this reason, that when the Bible speaks of the wrath of God, it is describing this wrath not in terms of mild displeasure or a kind of divine irritation or annoyance. But perhaps a word that would be more exact than wrath itself would be the word fury. In other words, Paul here in Romans 1 is using strong language. He's speaking of a vehement anger that is revealed by God, who is moved to fury about certain things. And that fury is directed, according to Paul, to all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. That is, that this is not an example of God being angry over nothing, or God overreacting to a certain situation, but it is His divine reaction to real wickedness, to real evil in its destructive capacity. I'm also aware that when we ascribe to God, and when the Bible ascribes to God, passions or emotions that are in some way analogous to human emotions, we're treading on slippery soil here. Because we must be careful not to project upon the character of God an equivalence or an identity between our modes of behavior, our emotions, and His. This is what we call an anthropomorphic expression. That is, where God is described in human terms. Anger is something with which we are very familiar. And it's not that we are supposed to come to the conclusion that God is a touchy deity who is given to temper tantrums, flies off the handle, and arbitrarily starts steaming when things happen with which He is not pleased. But rather, God's wrath expresses God's divine displeasure against evil. And the Bible uses graphic terms, strong images, to communicate this idea of God's sore displeasure. Well, I think one of the most frightening statements about the wrath of God that we find anywhere is found in the Psalms. In Psalm 7, beginning in verse 11, we read these words, "God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If He does not turn back, He will sharpen His sword. He bends His bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for Himself instruments of death, and He makes His arrows into fiery shafts." Now, perhaps the most famous sermon ever preached in America was the sermon preached by Jonathan Edwards entitled, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." I remember when I was in college reading that sermon and hearing the professor tell us that this was an example of an unbalanced mind, that Edwards had this kind of fixation and preoccupation with hell, fire, and damnation, and that he must have been sadistic in his personality that he would preach a sermon with such graphic images as are those found in this sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You remember the images that Edwards uses. He speaks of a spider hanging by one thread of the web over open flames. And he says, O sinner, you hang over the pit of hell, suspended by one tiny thread. All the while, the flames of divine wrath are burning and thrashing all around it, ready to singe it at any second and to drop you into the pit. That's one image that Edwards used. Another image that he uses in that famous sermon is the image of the bow of God. He says, God's bow is bent, and his arrow is aimed at your heart. And you see this bow being pulled to its fullest extension. And you know that all it will take for the arrow to be released that is aimed at your heart is for God simply to open his fingers and allow the string to snap and the arrow to be projected into your heart. These are ghastly images, graphic images. But if Edwards was sadistic in using them, then the scriptures are even more sadistic, because every image that he uses in that sermon, save for the image of the spider and its web, is an image taken directly from the pages of scripture. And the other observation about Edwards I would make is this. To call Edwards sadistic is to misunderstand the man completely. If we know anything about Jonathan Edwards, we know that Jonathan Edwards really believed in hell. He really believed in the wrath of God. And most importantly, he believed that human beings are exposed to the reality of that wrath. And Edwards cared about that. If Edwards were sadistic, believing in hell and believing in divine wrath and believing in human sin, he would have told people just the opposite. He would have said, don't worry about it. God's not angry. Everything's okay. There is no hell. And would have secretly enjoyed gleeful anticipation of these people going there. On the contrary, Edwards believed the Word of God and tried to awaken his people to the reality of it. Because what the psalmist says here in this passage is, first of all, that God is a just judge. It's interesting that the wrath of God is couched in its relationship to God's justice. A perfectly holy judge of all of the world, who is incapable of being angry about evil, could not possibly be good. That God's anger, as we say, is righteous indignation, and it is an appropriate response to the reality of injustice. It is injustice that angers God. And it is because he is just, it is because he is righteous, it is because he is holy that he has wrath. Now, the scriptures repeatedly declare that God himself is slow to anger. He's not a hothead. He doesn't come up with unprovoked fury. He is slow to reach the boiling point. This is part of his forbearance and of his graciousness and of his long-suffering with our wickedness. And yet the scriptures say to us here something that we must not overlook, dear friends. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If you are not a Christian, if you have not made peace with God, if you are still estranged from God,
If you have never been reconciled to God, then you must hear these words that God is angry with you. And not only is He angry with you, but He's angry with you every single day. Friends, I don't like to have people mad at me. I'm uncomfortable when people exhibit or manifest or express anger towards me. It's an intimidating thing. It's an embarrassing thing. But can you imagine what it would be like to have the God of heaven and earth angry with you every day? And yet, if we are to understand this whole concept of anger, here's where we have to start. That anger is real. And the ultimate source of it is God Himself, whose anger is always and everywhere just and justified.
That was Dr. R.C. Sproul teaching us about the holy wrath and anger of God. Dr. Sproul will return in just a moment with some closing thoughts. Today's lecture, God's Furious Anger, was the first in a series of five messages entitled Anger. In the study, Dr. Sproul teaches us how God's righteous anger differs from man's sinful expression of anger and explains that anger is justified when expressed rightly and without sin. The Anger series is available on two CDs for $13.60. To order, call 1-800-435-4343. You can order on the web at ligonier.org. Again, that's ligonier.org. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is Ligonier Ministries, P.O. Box 863-595, Orlando, Florida 32886. We'd like to tell you about today's offer for a donation of any amount. It's our music sampler CD featuring selections from cellist John Catchings, the Scottish Philharmonic with Ian McCrory, the St. Andrews Strings, as well as Grammy Award-winning tenor Stuart Neal. For 5 years, Ligonier Ministries has been providing and producing music CDs for the people of God as they seek to glorify and praise Him in song. The 17 songs featured on this music sampler CD represent some of the finest music available here at Ligonier Ministries. During this week on Renewing Your Mind, we'd like to send you a copy of our music sampler CD for a donation of any amount. Again, if you'd like to receive a copy of the sampler CD, call now, and we'll send it to you for a donation of any amount. Our toll-free number is 1-800-435-4343. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is Ligonier Ministries, P.O. Box 863-595, Orlando, Florida 32886. Again, that's Post Office Box 863-595, Orlando, Florida 32886. Again, here's our teacher with some closing thoughts.
I would be derelict in my responsibility to you anytime that I speak about this frightening subject of the wrath of God if I didn't plead with you to take it seriously. Because it's very possible that as you're sitting there hearing this exposition of what Scripture says about the wrath of God, that you are indeed one of those with whom God is angry every day. I want to remind you that that anger can be placated. That anger can be removed. There is a way of escape from His wrath. And that, of course, is found in the work of Christ. That's what the cross was, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't a demonstration simply of Christ's meekness or of His righteousness or of His heroic self-giving. It was an act by which Jesus Himself took upon Himself the wrath that we deserve. And He took that wrath for our sakes so that we do not have to ever worry about experiencing it ourselves. And so I point to you this day again to the one who has borne the wrath of the Father for you if it so be that you have put your trust in him. Scotland has given many great things to the world, and I'm delighted that it has given us Sinclair Ferguson. He's one of the finest theologians of our day who combines his brilliance with a pastor's heart. He's written a new book that I'm excited about called In Christ Alone. And that book gives meditations that will help you have a Christ-centered, gospel-centered Christian life. Get it at your earliest convenience. In Christ Alone, published by Reformation Trusts here at Ligonier Ministries.
That's our time for this Friday edition of Renewing Your Mind. Thank you for listening. Join us again on Monday as Dr. Sproul continues his study of anger. Until then, have a great weekend and Lord's Day. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, the listener-supported radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries with Dr. R.C. Sproul.